Let's get our Bibles out tonight, Hebrews chapter number 12. Perfect message for the starting of our spring weather. And sun is out. I hope you've dusted off. Last generation, we'll call them tennis shoes. I just call them sneakers. And I don't know. I didn't know there were so many tennis players, but that's fine. I enjoy the racket sports just like you. All right, Hebrews chapter number 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, it says there in verse 1, it says that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. As the chapter 12 continues, it is referencing back to chapter 11. Chapter 11, we find a long list of people that have gone on before us. You know, it's easy to see in my Bible. It kind of breaks it up. I don't know if you just have a paragraph Bible, but men like Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham and his wife Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the parents of Moses, Joshua, Rahab. Rahab has a last name in our minds, right? You can't say Rahab without the harlot. And God puts her in here. And what are these people here? What is a collection of these people? Why are they being identified? Why are they being set out by the author here to encourage us in which way? Because of their faith. And then it goes on to say a list, a group of people, people like Gideon and Samuel and then some unnamed saints that went through some really difficult times. So when we get to chapter 12 and verse 1, hey, you're surrounded by, or there's been an example established for you. See, we get in the race sometimes, and man, you know what? I just want to. It'd be a lot easier if I just gave up, just hung up the weapons of the spiritual warfare, and I just give up. And the Lord is trying to encourage us here, and the author is trying to encourage us here. No, you got to keep running. And say, well, you don't understand my situation. I've been through some things. I've gone through some difficulty. I'm in a difficult place. Hey, let's revert back to the chapter before, because chances are really good there's someone that had it a lot tougher than you and kept running. Didn't give up. Say, well, I've been falsely accused more than Joseph. How much prison time have you spent because of that? Taken from your own home, sold by your family. Oh, my family, we disagree. I just can't be a... he forgave a man. I don't know about you, but that would have been tough. Having it within your power to turn that thing all around. So when we get to chapter 12, and it says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, sure, they might be cheering us on or something like that, but I take great comfort in reading the stories of people that walked a path very similar to my path and kept going. Didn't give up. That's why I like missionary stories. I like to ask people, hey, what are you reading about? Or what books are you reading? Or outside of the Bible, what are you reading? Oh, I'm reading this novel. It's made up. It's about these kids. And I'm like, oh, okay. Tell me the true stories about these saints that are bigger than life sometimes, that have gone on before, people that have left their comforts of their home to go serve the Lord and impacted maybe a town or a city or sometimes even a country, maybe even a continent for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read about them and I go, whew, man, and it just stirs in my faith, makes me want to keep going. So when we get here in chapter 12 and verse 1, hey, we're compassed about. There's some people, not just in the far past. Hey, there's been some people in our near past that have gone on before that could encourage us. People that we've, how about this? People that we've actually run with. What do you think they're saying? Yeah, man, why don't you just give up on the Lord? Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just stop coming to church? You're right, that'll make it easier. You think that's what they're saying? You think that's what they would say to you right now? Oh, I don't think so. I'm telling you, a bad day with the Lord is better than a good day without it. I was praying for Ray and Eric there at Liberty Pumps. Being a witness and a bold witness and exemplifying a life of the best life is with the Lord. There's no substitute for running in the race, for sticking with it by living a life of faith. We've been compassed about with some people that could encourage us. Hey, I even think this, those that have fallen by the way or have gotten entangled with the cares of sin by choice, and you look at that and go, man, I'm going to keep running. I don't want that life. I remember, how many of you know Ben Burks? Anybody know who that is? There used to be an RU ministry, and RU is that substance abuse to try and help people through the Word of God get over that. And he was our spokesperson, and he came here, and he was helping us get started with RU. Brian Knobb started that, worked with that for years and years and years. And when he came, he was telling us a story, and I won't forget it. He was driving, and there was an accident, and it stopped, and the guy was swerving all over and got in an accident, and he took his kid out of the car. And he brought him to the car. I mean, the emergency equipment's there and everything. He's like, look, I want you to see this. I want you to see the effects of alcohol. Man, that's some serious stuff. That'll sober you up. You see a young man with an arm hanging off the side or a split down his head and go, see, is that where you want to end up? Hey, I'm telling you, even those that have fallen by the way, have given up on the faith, those encourage me to stick in the faith. I don't want that life. I want the life where God is pleased and honored and glorified. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, those that are in the race, it tells us here, we need to lay some things aside. From this passage, we see two things that for the Christian, listen now, this is important. For the Christian that intends to run well needs to set aside, needs to lay off. Number one, running with weights. It says here, let us lay aside every weight. Well, what's a weight? There was a time in my life when I ran a little bit more than I do. Say, what was that? Well, any running right now is more than I do. I need some encouragement. I need to get back on that. And I'll do it for a day or two, and then it just falls away. And I enjoy walking. That's better. That's a lot more fun, and a lot less sweating, and breathing is so much easier walking, so much easier. I need to get back into it, but I'm telling you, when you go running, you're not looking for work boots. You're not looking for a pair of jeans. You're looking for light clothing. They make clothes now that are very light and keep you cool or keep you warm. And man, it encourages you in that. When you run in a real race, you do all that you can to get as light as you can. And there's some things that you just wouldn't want to pick up. You wouldn't want to say, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna go for a run. I'm gonna grab a hold of this. Maybe you do some weightlifting and stuff, and maybe you're trying to strengthen things. But now I'm not gonna go for a long distance run and grab a weight with me. Why? I have a hard time just putting one foot in front of the other. Hey, if you're gonna run well, there's some things in your life that, hey, they're just gonna slow you down." 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 tells us that. There's some childish things. Look at what it says here. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, look at now, I put away childish things. Hey, there's some, when I'm going to run for the Lord, if I want to be a man of God, if I want to be a mature Christian, as we were talking about last week, hey, I'm going to have to put off some childish things. Say, what's the difference between an adult and a child? It defines it for us in this very passage. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Have you ever heard a child talk? They whine. I don't know about you. Maybe yours are different. Not content. Hey, be careful, Christian. If you're gonna want to run well and lay aside some weights, you're gonna want to put off some childish things. What were those things? The way we speak. Be careful that you not whine, that you not murmur, that you not complain, that you not be discontent with where God has you. Why? Because you pick that weight up and it's going to be harder to run for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you start a phrase with, no offense, but, whew, just stop. You're talking like a child. What does a child do? Oh, they like to play. The world is the playground. That's why, okay, the kids in our house, there's, I don't know if your house has one of these, but our wood stove room connects to our kitchen, which connects to the hall, which connects to the wood stove room. That's the track, the circuit, right? And man, they're running, when they were little, they would run through. Now even still, the boys chase each other around a little bit. And you want a fun time, watch Joe and Sam chase each other. I have to split them up because something will break. And that's a lot of, you know, and stop, boy, stop. I have to get in there. Sarah grabs a wooden spoon, and she's chasing them, and it's not good. Okay, anyways, play outside, kids. That's why we've been outside. Play outside. What does a child do? Plays all the time. Hey, is this Christianity just a game? We're going to sober up. Titus chapter number 2. Four times in that passage it says to be sober. It's not talking about non-alcohol. It's talking about taking your Christianity serious. Paul says, hey, here's some things. I want to run well, but there's some weights that weight me down. He says, here, you need to put off some childish things. What's childish? Careful how you talk. Careful that you not take Christianity serious enough. Now, does that mean we can't have joy? No, I'm not saying that. But be careful. Be careful that you not pick up the weight of foolishness. Here it says this in verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. How many of you have children here tonight? Anybody have kids? Great. Mr. Buck, yours is here. Plug your ears, Claire. No. Was there ever a time, Mrs. Buck, or any parent, that your child didn't understand what was going on? All the time. All the time. Dad, why are you doing that? Oh, because I know what's best. Son, go do this. Why? Why? Children have a skewed view of things. That's just how they are by nature. They don't understand. Be careful that you not get a skewed view of things. Say, how do I think right? Through the Word of God. That'll help you. Put off some childish things. How you speak, how you play, how you understand. It says this, their thoughts. I thought as a child. How does a child think? I'll tell you, they think about themselves. A child is selfish. I remember when I was in junior high school and they were teaching us about, and we had to sit through health class. Man, public education health class. That was not fun. Especially for a Christian young man. Anyways. And they taught us, they explained this, and I believe it. The most selfish person in the entire world is a child. All they do is take. They have nothing to give back, right? He says, don't think like that. Get away from that thinking. And hey, listen, a child, you know what Lincoln thinks? It's all about him. Because well, at this point it is. He depends on you for food, for sleep. He can't even get to his own bed. And we're willing to do that because we love them. But imagine Roger. Imagine if, feed me, Ashley. Tuck me in. Put me to bed. Hey, you're acting like a child. Stop being so selfish. Hey, Christian. Is it all about you? Or is it all about the Lord? A child cares most about themselves. And he said, you know what? That's a weight you need to set aside. Because that's not going to help you run well. Not one bit. Running with weights. 1 Peter chapter number 5. We have childish things. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Another weight in your life are cares. Those get heavy real quick, don't they? You start picking up cares, and your run's going to slow way down. You start holding on to cares that you should be casting off to the Lord, you're going to slow way down. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. I love this passage. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11. Thine, O Lord, 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. This is David praying. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Hey, what was that? He's just bragging on God for who he is. God, you have all power. You can do victory, majesty, honor, reign. So why are you bringing that to our attention? And we think he can't handle our burdens and cares? His power is limitless. And we choose to run with these things? No, the Bible tells us to cast those things to him. You think the Lord's not capable? You think you can do it better? No. Running with the baggage of weights. That's not the only baggage. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Running with the baggage of sin. The Bible says, which doth so easily beset us. Hey, when you try and run the race for the Lord with sin in your life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get beset. Say, what is that word? I don't use that word, beset. It's a new word. I looked it up too. It means to enclose, to entangle, to besiege. Hey, if you're going to run, you know what you need? You need room. And when you carry sin, it just closes, life just closes in. You can't run. You can't move forward for the Lord. You're grounded. That's not how you were designed. I don't think this is necessary. I don't really want to get into specific sins, but sin as a whole. Understanding that you do not have to sin. For the Christian, sin is a choice. I'll tell you this, a bad choice. What does it do? It breaks fellowship. Look at 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John. That's the John that's in the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter number 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, that tells me that if I have sin in my life, it hinders my fellowship with the Lord. It hinders our fellowship. It slows your running down. You're not gonna be able to run the way you should. Here it uses the word, like this, if we walk in the light. And there we are. That's some good exercise right there. Slow it down a little bit. But our walk with the Lord will be hindered. It breaks fellowship. I dare say such a low premium is placed on the relationship between us and the Lord. One of the greatest overlookings, if you can, I don't even know if that's a real phrase or word, I didn't put it in my notes here, but one of the greatest oversights of the Christian life is the lack of the fear of God in our life. How about instead of asking, what do I think about this, start asking, God, what do you think about this? Many a Christian today is getting derailed off the straight and narrow, off of what is right, simply because they want what they want. Well, I'm just not happy. I don't care. It's right. Christians have become apathetic as their relationship dwindles with the Lord. Do we not care about the fear of God? Can't run with the baggage of sin. Why not? You'll get entangled. I've had the opportunity to run in a number of races and never win, but I participate. I get the participation trophy. The 5Ks were easy. That's just 3 miles. And the 10Ks weren't bad, but it was, you know, it was the Thanksgiving 10K at First Bible. And you never know, it could be 65 and nice, or it could be sleet and rain in your face. But the hardest race, and I was in good shape. The hardest race I ever had to run was a cross-country course. It was a year. The race was over at Mendon Ponds Park. That's a special place because that's where my mom and I got baptized when we first got saved back in 1988. And the race was held on her birthday. And I thought, man, it was just a unique circumstance. And I signed up for the race. And there I showed up. And it kind of was like a lot of people were looking at me like, what are you doing here? Because everyone was like this tall, and their legs were this tall, and their shorts were this tall, and there's me, you know? And they're like, oh, we're so glad you came. Felt like I was a visitor at church, you know? They're like, we're so glad you're here. I'm like, where am I? Like, what did I just sign up for? And, man, that's hard. It was November 29th, and it was just after Thanksgiving. I just ran a 10K, which is 6 miles. This was a 3 or 4 mile through the woods, and it was really hard. The snow, the roots, there was things to enclose, entangle. That was the hardest race. I ran a half marathon. I'll tell you, the cross country course was harder than the half marathon because your footing wasn't sure. That's what sin does. It entangles you. It prevents you from running. It encloses in on you. It besieges you. It breaks fellowship between us and the Lord. Hey, you won't lose your salvation. You'll just get entangled. You'll just stop taking steps. On that cross-country run, I got lost. I don't know. All of a sudden, I came out, and I'm on the street, and I see no other runners. I don't know. So I just walked back to the parking lot, got in the car, and went home. I don't know. I don't know what happened. What happened? I got entangled. I was enclosed. Are you running with the baggage of sin in your life? A Christian can live a sinless life. Say, come on. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 3, maybe just a page away. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. 2 Peter 2, 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under the day of judgment to be punished. That tells me God knows a way. So the question is, am I running His way or my way? Are you running with weights? Are you running with sin? They're different. The weights will slow you down, but maybe you can still keep moving. The sin will besiege you, entangle you, enclose you, and you'll just stop taking steps. If you go back to Hebrews chapter number 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We have the examples. Let us lay aside every weight. That's that childish living. That's the cares of this life that we pick up and try and run with. And the sin. The sin that we pick up. The sin that we choose to commit. Because you see what it does. It does so easily beset us. It's not hard for sin to stop us. So what am I supposed to do? The solution is in the verse. It tells us, let us lay aside. We're to take the weights. We're to take the sin. We're to get rid of it. Whose responsibility? Let us lay aside. You have to lay them aside. You have to get rid of the weights. You have to get rid of the sin. You do. You have to cast your care upon the Lord. You've got to unload on God. You've got to go to Him. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you've got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to turn from that. You've got to take the baggage off. You've got to lay it aside. See, the Christian life, it's hard. It's probably because you're carrying things that you shouldn't have been. It's probably because you're carrying some weights. It's probably because you've been entangled by sin. I don't feel like I'm moving forward anymore. Well, have you picked up sin? Because that'll just entangle your feet. That'll besiege you. That will surround you. That'll get you to stop running. So let us lay those things aside and run with patience the race that is set before us. The long races aren't a sprint. No, life isn't a sprint. It's patience. I can encourage you tonight to evaluate in your own life, are there weights and is there sin? Let's all stand, we'll be dismissed. May we be the example. Wouldn't it be something that we get to heaven and Somehow, some way, we interact with one another. And someone comes to you and says, you know what, I wanted to give up, but it was your word of encouragement that kept me going. It was your testimony. It was your example. It was your faith that I took one more step. May we be the ones that are compassing about others to encourage them to take the weights and the sins and laying them aside. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for your patience with us as we attempt to run for you. Lord, I am thankful that you help us with our sin problem. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying for our sin. Lord, forgive us for allowing sin to break fellowship with you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to identify that personally in our own lives and lay those things aside. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.